L-E-N-D. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 163-1119.
Jake from State Farm. I just beat my running PR, so I'm celebrating with a Banana Bonanza smoothie.
Hey, and you can keep celebrating when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. Go bananas.
I will. Hey, make it a large.
Bundling. Just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Timmy, everybody. Great job. Next up for our fifth grade class recital, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high-stress performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through December 28th, Castrol Edge and Edge High Mileage Motor Oil are on rollback at Walmart.
Claim based on sequence dyne test under high-low conditions versus API SP test limits.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Despite growing calls from Democrats to step aside as the party's nominee, President Biden is pushing forward with his campaign. He's in Michigan today, working to reassure voters he can win in November. Extreme heat across the country raising health risks, and fire crews are using new tools to help treat heat stroke victims.
In Henderson, Nevada, when a call comes in of somebody suffering from heat stroke, firefighters can now use what are called polar pods, basically bags that they fill with ice to bring down the victim's core body temperature. Thomas Vince with Henderson Fire.
It allows us to encase the patient and fully enclose them and immerse them in ice water.
He says Henderson is the first fire department in southern Nevada to use polar pods. In the Las Vegas area today, the temperature is around 115 degrees. Alex Stone, EBC News.
Beryl is pushed out into the Atlantic, but Vermont still dealing with major flooding. Burlington public safety officials say crews rescued more than 120 people. This is ABC News. The parents of Massachusetts teen have filed suit against Hershey's, Walgreens, and Walgreens clerk after their 14-year-old son died after eating a super spicy chip.
Social media platforms are filled with video of the unknown and the well-known, including Shaquille O'Neal biting into a Pocky chip.
Oh, it's hot. Anybody got some milk?
Hours after eating one, Massachusetts 10th grader Harris Willoba died. His parents have hired attorney Doug Sheff, who has filed suit.
Willobas want to send a message, not just to Hershey, but to all who would endanger our children.
Hershey defends the product, saying it was clearly labeled for use only by adults. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A 55-year-old American tourist has died after getting sick during an excursion on Mount Etna in Italy. Rescuers say that the cause of his illness is still unknown. They stress, though, that the danger of high temperatures and high humidity could be dangerous for those who do not have sufficient training to make the climb. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. The Wisconsin Elections Commission Thursday unanimously approved new best practices for clerks regarding the use of absentee ballot drop boxes. Commissioner Ann Jacobs spoke to the need for boxes to be secure.
If they've got a hook in the ground and they've got a giant chain around it to secure it, is it permanently affixed to the ground or the side of the building? we would say, like, well done, that's pretty secure.
In addition to being secure, commissioners are recommending that drop boxes be placed in well-lit areas and that they're emptied often. The best practices are not requirements. The state Supreme Court's liberal majority recently ruled drop boxes can again be used in Wisconsin. Protesters say they'll proceed as planned at next week's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, composed of more than 70 groups and organizations. The Coalition to March on the RNC sued after Milwaukee officials refused to permit a march inside the convention's security zone. A U.S. District Court judge did not grant an injunction, but the group maintains it'll march within sight and sound of the Fiserv Forum. On Thursday, the American Civil Liberties Union sent a letter reminding law enforcement agencies of their responsibility to respect the constitutional rights of demonstrators. Bond was set at $10 million Wednesday for a man accused in the Independence Day shooting death of a Columbia County business owner.
Police say 22-year-old Jonathan Luna shot and killed 42-year-old Jose Fuentes Hernandez in downtown Columbus. Hernandez owned Tequila's Bar and Grill. Criminal complaint says the two had a brief fight at a bar. Luna went to his apartment and then got his gun, returned to the bar, and waited for Hernandez to leave. Once outside, Hernandez was shot. Luna was captured at an Eastside hotel in Madison before he had a chance to leave the state. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sitting comfortably hot today as high temperatures flirt with 90 degrees. The humidity holds off from sneaking in until tomorrow. That's, of course, when showers and thunderstorm chances really start to increase. And some of them have the potential to be severe, especially late tomorrow night. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 83 degrees.
Wheat got a surprise, corn got a surprise, and beans had a generally uneventful USDA report day. The problem is the surprises in corn and wheat pulled prices in opposite directions. The cattle complex ended a tough week with some price gains, and hogs ended today mixed with strength in the nearby contracts.
Live! I did not care for Citizen Kane. Via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon we chat with Pro Farmer's Own, Brian Grady. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Is that some sort of a statement that you're making right off the bat there?
The perfect film? I think not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't care for it. No.
I thought it was good.
Film de noir kind of a thing, artsy-fartsy. I felt like it was awfully indulgent, and I didn't get it. I don't even remember how it ended. Just, no thank you. No thank you. Give me Beverly Hills Cop any day of the week.
Porky's. Give me Porky's.
Yes. The movies that tell us what matters and how not to get fooled by the banana in the tailpipe.
Oh, boy. We're off and running. Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody.
Friday.
I'm Chip. That is movie critic Davis Michelson.
Mm-hmm. And, Hello.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like how you're starting things off here. What a day, man. A USDA report day. Sound the alarms because we had I would call it a big surprise in the corn. Numbers, wheat was a negative surprise. Beans kind of go nowhere, but got pulled around by both the corn and the wheat markets today, favoring the downside in the soy complex. I think for the big reason that beans were pulled lower today is soybean oil traded to the downside again today. So what a crazy set of numbers that we got. Looking forward to breaking it all down with Brian Grady from Pro Farmer. And with that in mind, let's go ahead and get to some of these numbers. Okay, buddy?
Well, sure thing. Well, wheat futures gave back everything that was gained yesterday. December soft red winter wheat futures fell to the lowest close since March 7, and chart watchers are targeting support at the March 6 contract low of 565¾. Ongoing harvest hedge pressure and good growing conditions for the spring wheat crop had the wheat market lower on the week ahead of this morning's supply and demand update. In that update, USDA pushed old crop carryover to the expected 702 million bushels, but new crop wheat carryover was lifted 98 million bushels from last month to a larger than expected 856 million bushels, much of that increase based on the 133 million bushel increase in estimated 2024 production. USDA put the all wheat crop at 2.008 billion bushels. Chip, that's about 100 million bushels larger than expected. December HRW wheat futures today, 15¼ cents lower at 586.5. December SRW wheat down 19¼ cents to 575¾. December spring wheat closed at 597.5. Chip, that's down 21¼ cents.
Yeah, that was the September contract there in the spring wheat down, down 21¼. Led the way to the downside. Spring wheat crop estimate came in bigger than expected. We're going to get those. We'll dig into those numbers a little bit with Brian. That's where we're going to start, is with the wheat production report with Brian, just simply because the crop size is 100 million bushels more. It's only 2 billion bushels, and the crop is 100 million bushels more than what the trade was looking for. So we need to get to the bottom line on that. On the week, December soft red winter wheat futures down 37¾ cents. December hard red winter down 29½ cents, and September spring wheat futures down 35¾ cents on the week.
Well, Chip, the corn market got a more bullish set of old and new crop balance sheet estimates than anyone expected, but the sharp losses in wheat futures limited buying in corn. USDA cut 145 million bushels from the old crop carryover, and new crop corn carryover at 2.097 billion bushels was more than 200 million bushels below the average pre-report trade guess.
Man.
Growing conditions across the bulk of the Corn Belt also limited buying interest. Hot temperatures are expected this week, but seasonal temperatures are expected to return to most intensive corn areas next week. December corn futures fell to a new contract low ahead of the USDA report and then recovered to close above yesterday's high. Corn was lower on the week, but today's upside key reversal is the first signal that downside momentum has been broken. September corn futures were 1¾ cents higher, 402. December corn up 4 cents, 414¾. March corn futures closed at 428, up 3¾ cents, a key upside reversal. Chip,
yep.
Am I reading too much into this?
Do not ignore it. Do All not right. ignore it. Long-term trending markets, when you get that key reversal, whether it's at the bottom or the top, you got to pay attention to it. I think especially in corn, there's some history there. September corn on the week was down 8½ cents. December corn down 9¼ cents.
Well, Chip, old crop soybean carryover was 10 million below trade expectations, and new crop carryover was about 15 million below trade expectations. Despite the price positive estimates, November bean futures opened slightly higher and then fell to spike support at yesterday's low, moving back up to close just below the opening range. Soybean oil lifted bean prices last week, but pulled bean prices lower this week. Eastern Corn Belt rains were a big-time negative factor on the bean market this week. August beans, 12 cents lower, 1105. September beans, down 5¼, 1058½. November beans closed at 1065¼. Chip, that's down 2½ today.
Yeah, okay. The parity of the declines in the soy complex this week struck me. Okay, get this. August beans down 5¼%. November beans down 5.7%. August bean oil down 5.85%. August bean meal down 5.15%. That's
wow.
not how the soy complex has been trading recently. There's been a clear leader in either direction. And this week, everything moved in unison. On the week, August beans down 61¼ cents. November beans down 64½ cents. August bean oil down 290 points. And August bean meal down $18.40 a ton.
Old crop cotton carryover up 200,000 bales from last month. And new crop carry jumped 1.2 million bales from June. Those increases were built into futures, and that caused some choppy price action this week. December cotton today, 40 points higher, 71.27 chip on the week.
Up 29 points. That was it.
Yep. Let's go to the livestock's heavyweight choice graded boxed beef prices were 51 cents higher this morning on good movement, and that helped cattle futures build on modest mid-morning gains. After a big sell-off at the start of the week, live cattle consolidated the second half of the week. August live cattle today, 12.5 higher at 182.37.5. October futures up 57.5 cents to 184.07.5. August feeder futures climbed back to the midpoint of this week's trading range, 250 higher on the day today, 258.60. And on the snout side, August lean hog futures opened higher and on session lows and rallied to fill Wednesday's downside price gap. August hogs today, a buck 77.5 higher, 88.45. October up 75, 70.15 chip.
Yeah, the problem is that those back month contracts, the December hogs, at 62.37.5 couldn't work higher today. That was a tough, tough day. On the week, August live cattle down $4.05. August feeder cattle down 282.5. July lean hogs on the week, make that August lean hogs on the week, were down 142.5. All right. Thank you, Davis. Coming up next, we're going to get to the report details and try to get some perspective and figure out what it means for us going forward. Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor, next.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at agmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FBN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Davis, I had something wrong.
You did?
Yes.
Well, tell me about it.
Because, and I realized it as soon as I said the weekly change on the hogs, because on my on my spreadsheet, I've got it as July hogs, but I knew that I put the August hog clothes in there. Well, sure enough, if you go back and get the previous week's August clothes in there with this week's August clothes, August hogs are down just 72.5 cents, not the 142.5 that I said. So
roughly August half hogs, as much.
Yeah, roughly half as much. August hogs on the week, down 72.5 cents.
Don't beat yourself up about it because I think, and I was going so fast, I don't even know, it was a blur, but I think I said December instead of September on the spring wheat. So, you know,
that's okay. I corrected it.
It's a mark against both of us.
I'm here for you. You're here for me. It all works out.
That's why
it all works out. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
I feel good.
All right. And, you know, it's probably a good thing that we've got Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady to keep both of us straight.
Help.
Yeah, no doubt. Brian, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm great, Chip. So we're here at the end of the week, obviously, and the USDA reports are out of the way, and so you know it wasn't as bad as feared, especially for the corn market.
Boy, I guess not. Now I do want to start with wheat, though. Let's get that production report out of the way, because boy, oh boy, total production was quite a bit bigger than what the trade was anticipating there, about 100 million bushels more. What and how did that happen?
Well, the winter wheat crop was bigger than what was anticipated, but really the spring wheat crop was the one that, you know, and this is the first estimate on that, but the much bigger spring wheat crop than what we thought was out there. So USDA estimated at 578 million bushels, and the trade was coming in looking for 521, and so those 57 million bushels make a difference. But like I said, the winter wheat estimate, and we've had multiple months of that already, that came in higher than expected by 25 million bushels as well. Yeah. And so you add it all up, the Durham was bigger than expected. Yeah. That's a relatively small crop compared to everything else.
But it
still came in 14 million bushels above expectations.
Yeah, that's a huge number for Durham. And something that all comes into play. Well, when everything is said and done here, of course, we got the 702 on the old crop wheat carryover because that's what the June quarterly grain stocks report told us it was going to be. But when everything was said and done, the wheat carryover jumping up from last month on the 2024-25 outlook, that's it kind of turns attitudes in that wheat, doesn't it?
Yeah, so 856 million bushels of projected ending stocks for the 24-25 marketing year. That would be the biggest since 2020. So, you know, now we're looking at year over year build for consecutive years in wheat ending stocks, and you know, and Russia and Black Sea region continue to dominate on the export side of things, and so not the best picture for the wheat market by any means.
No, and for those of you that think that Brian Grady just went all Joe Biden on us, he did not. It was he said it very clearly, but it was still a little hard to follow. The highest wheat stocks estimate since the 2019 to 2020 marketing year. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
2019,
all right. 2020. Right. Right. I don't know where we go from here on wheat. What about Ukraine and Russia? Ukraine evidently has decided they're getting tired of Russia stealing wheat and selling it as their own, huh?
Yeah, probably not much of a surprise. I mean, so to keep this war going, you know, they have to find ways of doing some stuff. But they seized a cargo of looted grain earlier this week that they said Russia stole from them, and so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think that's much of a big deal, to be honest with you. The weather situation, that was an issue over the last month or so, but it looks like a lot of the crop estimates out of the Black Sea region undershot what the production is, and the Russian yields are coming in better than anticipated. And so I don't think that there's much left there from a bullish perspective either.
Yeah. So when you take a look at that wheat chart right now, I've been looking at the Dease SRW chart quite a bit here. I just don't see a whole lot that's indicating that that market is getting ready to make any kind of a move to the upside. I mean, it felt pretty good yesterday, and then we took it all back today.
Yeah, and technically it was a poor finish to the week. You know, just we had that kind of a I don't know, what was it, about a 30-cent consolidation range that we'd traded in, closed below that. So it looks like we're probably headed back to the March lows at this point in time.
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay, let's go over to corn because, boy, oh, boy, when you take a look at the old crop carryover, we've been wondering what in the heck's going to get us under 2 billion bushels on the old crop carryover. Well, all we had to do was add 75 million to the export number, add 75 million to the feed and residual, and here we sit now with a 1.877 billion bushel. I think that was a little surprising, though, based off the June quarterly grain stocks, wasn't it?
Well, absolutely. The June 1 stocks came in 120 million bushels higher than what the average trade estimate was. And so you would just assume that those 120 million bushels would kind of be added to the bottom line and you would see your carryover jump. And instead came in low, as a matter of fact. And so that was the surprise in the reports.
Yeah.
Take out everything else. And you know, there were some, you know, some surprises here and there, but that was the number one surprise, is the old crop ending stocks for corn dropping as much as they did when they were anticipated to rise. And so we'll see. You mentioned under 2 billion bushels. That's psychologically important. Now I'm looking at the closes here today, and September ended up a penny and three quarters, and December was up 4 cents, and so the market reaction wasn't great by any means, but at least it relieves some of that psychological pressure, I think. You know, we'll see how the marketing year ends up. It's taken us all this time to get below 2 billion bushels. You know, on the new crop balance sheet, we're just under 2.1 billion bushels at the moment.
Right.
And so that was down 5 million bushels as well. And so basically.
Well, and it was 215 below the average trade guess going into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so the increase that we saw in the acreage numbers at the end of June, in the June acreage report, that was pretty much absorbed by the lower beginning stocks and then some other adjustments. But so now you're looking at not nearly as daunting of an ending stocks number. You know, we'll see where we go from here on harvested acreage.
Well, it brings weather back into the equation, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and we've had some already. I think that we probably leaned down a little bit on the harvested acreage just because of some of the flooding and washouts and those types of things that we've had. So you pull that down a little bit. You know, whether we get to the 181, which is the trend line yield or not, that's where the weather comes into play. If you start taking acres off, then your yield moves up. I mean, that's just, you can't double dip. And that one's one that the market struggles with. And I mean, there's a lot of really smart people I know that struggle with that one. That's one that farmers struggle with, that, like, if you start lopping off acres, the yield is probably going to rise because you're taking out the worst acres, what would be the worst yielding acres. So you can't have it both. I mean, That's the one thing.
Right. Don't worry. We talk about it all the time. I don't know if the message is getting through or not, but we definitely talk about
it.
I'm
pretty sure it's not, because I hear enough of it that it's like.
Yep. I hear you. I want to talk a little bit more about crop conditions when we come back, but chart wise, today was an important day, upside key reversal in Dease corn.
Yeah, so we'll see. The funds are heavily short in that market, near record short, and so we'll see if it if this sparks anything. But you got to get follow through. That's the key thing, is you have to have some follow through early next week.
Yep, that's exactly the point that I thought we need to make. Right now, it's just kind of a, oh, look at that. If we close above 420 somehow, some way on Monday, boy, heads up. Then you got to start to believe that maybe that upside key reversal is going to chase some of the shorts out of the market. Okay, when we come back, Brian, I do want to talk a little bit more about that 181 that USDA's got on the balance sheet for the national average corn yield. Is that going to happen? Where are the trouble spots? We're talking with Brian Grady, Pro Farmer, here on AgriTalk.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the markets page of ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were 15 and one quarter cents lower at 586 and a half. December soft red wheat down 19 and one quarter cents to 575 and three quarters. September corn futures 1¾ cents higher at 402. December corn was up 4 cents to 414 and three quarters. August soybean futures 12 cents lower at 1105. November beans closed at 10.65 and a quarter. That's down 2.5 cents. December cotton today was 40 points higher at 71.27. On your livestock, August fat cattle today 12.5 higher, 182.37 and a half. August feeders gained $2.50 to 258.60. And August lean hog futures $1.77.5 higher at 88.45. Get more market news every market day. Just visit tryprofarmer.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Don't miss Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, held August 13th through the 15th, hosted in Chippewa County at Close Farms and the Country Fest Grounds. This popular annual event showcases the latest advancements in farming technology. Farm Tech Days offers hands-on experiences, educational opportunities, and access to cutting-edge equipment and solutions in the farm industry. We hope you can join us for 3 days of exhibits, family fun, and food trucks August 13th through the 15th. Advance tickets can be purchased at wifarmtechdays.com.
Farming is one of the most demanding professions in the world, and not just physically. Financial challenges, weather, markets, isolation, you take on a lot. But what about taking care of you? The Wisconsin Farm Center at DATCP or DATCAP is here to help. They have resources to help you with whatever the next step may be. It's free and confidential. Self-care isn't selfish. It's time to take care of you with the support of the Wisconsin Farm Center.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sitting comfortably hot today as high temperatures flirt with 90 degrees. The humidity holds off from sneaking in until tomorrow. That's, of course, when showers and thunderstorm chances really start to increase. And some of them have the potential to be severe, especially late tomorrow night. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 83 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of a conversation with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, in the last week, I've gotten several texts from the different growers around the northern production areas. One in particular down in southern Minnesota. You probably know who I'm talking about. Has said that that corn for the middle of July looks as tough as he's seen it in his career because of how much yellow corn there is. I had a high school kid, I had a high school young man kind of yell at me on Twitter about how the crop doesn't look like worth a darn up in North Dakota. And I'm just like, hey, I didn't say anything about it looking good. I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but I don't know. Is a 181 possible, Brian?
Well, the market thinks it is, and actually, they're, I would guess, pricing in something above 181 at this point in time.
I'm thinking probably it is too.
183 or something, you know, yep. A little bit above trend line. So, would if I had to just guess what the market was kind of thinking at the moment. Is it possible? Sure. Is it probable? I don't know if it's probable or not. I'll go back to the conversation we had before the break, and that's it. If you start lopping off harvested acres, which I think will take some off of harvested acres, mm-hmm. so instead of the normal 92%, maybe you end up with 91.5%, 91%, something, you know, like that. I don't think
below
you'll go
the 83.4.
Yeah, I don't think you'll go much below that, to be honest with you. But then, you know, now you start creeping the yield up because you're taking out some of what would have been lower yielding acres. And so that's all part of the equation. And I think that's the biggest thing is, like, we get so fixated with what the planted acres are. And really all the plantings are is a mechanism for getting the harvested acres. It's the acres times your yield equals your production. It doesn't have anything to do with plantings other than that gives us a starting point. And, you know, some of those won't be harvested. Some will be harvested for silage. And that's why you don't harvest 100% of the acres. But it's harvested acres. That's what we need to focus on.
Exactly. Okay. Soybeans. Let's go over to beans. What are you thinking there? Was there any trends in the numbers that you saw today that have got you thinking?
Well, ending stocks came down both for old crop and new crop, but not a lot. 5 million bushels on the old crop, 20 million bushels on the new crop, and when I just look at the numbers, 345 million bushels of ending stocks for the current marketing year and 435 for next marketing year, we have plentiful supplies of soybeans. So not as friendly by any means for soybeans as what it was for corn today. But you know, you're still sitting in the same type of situation. The funds are very comfortable with a very hefty short position in soybeans. And so something has to change now. CPC came out yesterday, the Climate Prediction Center, and said that it doesn't look like La Nina is going to develop during the summer time frame. Maybe as we get into late summer, early fall type. But that forecast, if that pans out, means that the soybean crop is probably going to be okay. It isn't going to face significant weather struggles. And so we need something to take some of those bushels off is the bottom line, because when you look at 435 million bushels of projected carryover for the 24-25 marketing year, that is well above what would make the market nervous.
Right. And the usage categories on soybeans aren't like for corn. On corn, we can get a surprise out of a 75 million bushel increase in the feed and residual number. That can surprise us. On soybeans, we don't get a surprise in the crush number. The export number is rarely a surprise. And I know that we got one on corn with that 75 million bushel increase on the corn export number. But that kind of stuff just typically does not happen on soybeans. So on corn, we've got a potential attitude changer from the demand side. On beans, I think the attitude changer's got to come from the supply side, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's where the weather comes into play as we sit here for the next, 2 months or so.
Yep. And I want to wrap up the report conversation with this. And we get that price has an influence on total demand. And with that in mind, I'm thinking that we've got to watch what might happen to this wheat balance sheet going forward, because just looking at the 24-25 prices, okay, the 2024-25 prices, the national average on-farm cash bean price is $11.10, down a dime from last month. On corn, it's $4.30, down a dime from last month. And on wheat, it's $5.70, down 80 cents in 1 month, Beej. That's the biggest month-to-month change in price I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely huge. And just probably tells me more than anything that USDA was just overly optimistic in terms of the price outlook.
But the models, they use models, they're supposed to put in variables and have it kick out a number. There's no way that it should be off by 80 cents.
No. And, this all goes back to 2022 when Russia invaded Ukraine and we sent prices too high. I just had this conversation the other day and prices went way too high in a knee-jerk reaction to that. And now we're paying for it because everybody around the world produces wheat, and we harvested 11 out of the 12 months. And this is what happens in those types of situations.
Dude, as soon as you said, and now we're paying for it, you flashed me back to maybe it was a year ago when you said, at some point, we're going to have to pay for that. Well, here we are.
Yeah.
We're paying for it now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, you've said it a lot.
This will have a long tail because it takes a lot of production problems when everybody around the world produces a commodity.
Right.
Such as wheat.
Exactly. Okay. What are you thinking on cattle trade, dude? I know we're backing off on that cash market a bit this week, but the box beef market this morning was up another 50 cents. I don't know if I want to call a top in the cash or not.
Oh, I think what's going to happen is you'll see us back down through the summertime frame, and then we're probably going to make another rally. I don't know if we'll get back to the high that was posted last week when all's said and done. But I can't rule it out. I just think that, we did something very similar the last time we had the run-up in prices, 2015 and 2014, 2015. We didn't quite get back to the high that time around. And I possibility that happens again. I can't rule out another high because of the supplies. But I will say there are, we're making up for some of the supply shortfall with increased in feeder cattle imports coming across from both Canada and Mexico. So that is somewhat alleviating it. Not at all of it by any means, because, we're at just historically low levels from a cattle supply standpoint.
Yeah. So are you bullish or bearish cattle?
I would
Neither
say
Neither is
that,
okay.
Yeah, I would say I'm kind of neutral where we stand at current prices. It's hard to be bullish at the current price levels, I think. But my underlying attitude is bullish. I'm not bearish toward the market, per se.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. What about hogs? Jeepers, criminy. Just a tough market.
Very tough. And, the underlying there is that we posted a seasonal high much earlier than what we typically would, and now the market is just really struggling to find traction. And as we start to build slaughter supplies into the second half of the year, through the second half of the year. And so I think it's going to be a struggle as we move forward, probably through the winter months for the hog market. Just isn't going to be a whole lot of upside there. But the downside should also somewhat be limited by the fact that we've just been in a free fall since May, basically.
Right. Okay. You like anything about cotton?
No, not at all. So ending stocks, 5.3 million bales for 24-25 marketing years. Yes. So you want to talk, and Chinese imports are projected to decline significantly in the 24-25 marketing year. Brazil is exporting more onto the world market. It's just not a good look for the U.S. at the moment. Now, we added a lot of acres, and a lot of those came in Texas, and those are low-yielding acres that have a high tendency to, even if they're harvested, they're low-yielding. Sometimes not many are harvested, depending on how the weather finishes up the growing season. And so we could chunk off some of that, but at 5.3 million bales of ending stocks, we need to chunk.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. No doubt. All right, Beej, great job breaking it down. If you were going to put if you're going to put calls on the markets for Sunday night, where are you leaning?
I'm going to say corn opens higher, and the key will be whether we can hold on to those initial gains or not.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Good stuff, Brian. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you Monday.
You betcha.
All right. Brian Grady, editor, Pro Farmer. Okay. Hopefully Davis was taking some notes and has some things that he wants to talk about. We'll do it next.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-948-5880. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-948-5880. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-948-5880.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Charles Barron is the co-founder of FBN. He joins us right now. Charles, you do a chemical price transparency report at FBN each year. What did you discover when you put it together this year?
Great to be with you, Chip. So, you know, we analyzed since January about 2,400 price points that growers shared with FBN from around the country. And what we saw is, you know, price swings in chemical as high as 468%, meaning two farmers are paying nearly 4.5 times one another for the same product. So yeah, some big ones like AMS, 470% difference between two growers in AMS, 2,4-D, 197%. You get into the Roundups and the Liberties, the very popular kind of more commoditized or branded products, you still see a lot of variation. So price transparency remains a huge issue for farmers all across the country.
Yeah. So as we go through the season, Charles, what's the best way the farmers can keep tabs of some of these pricing differences out there, and what can they do about it?
Well, we just also came out with a new price transparency system for each product. So if a grower shares their invoice on FBN, you go to any chemical product on FBN, you'll see the little price transparency widget so you can see what other growers are paying. And when you share an invoice in, then you can see what the price trends are for that product. One of the trends we always look at is what the savings between brandeds and generics are. And we found that this year, the savings have been nearly 35% between branded and generic ag chem. And the typical FBN farmer saved 15% versus competitive retail. So we've made an incredible system that allows you to look in the immediate term as well as in the 1 year, 2 year, you know, and all-time trends. So that's available now for hundreds of chemical products on FBN.com.
FBN.com/report is where you go to see the details of the chem pricing. Charles, thank you so much. That is Charles Barron, co-founder of FBN.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
I don't know what you're thinking, so call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here on a report day with Chip Flory.
Yeah, man.
Chip, we've discussed some of the report details with the Brian Stein, Pro Farmer editor, Brian Grady. Actually, I've got a few highlights from USDA's crop production report you might have missed.
Oh, boy.
96% of the nation's sorghum acreage was planted by June 30, 6 percentage points ahead of last year, 2 points ahead of the 5-year average. By June 30, 19% of the nation's sorghum acreage had reached the headed stage. Chip, one might say sorghum is headed in the right direction. Tobacco yields are forecast to fall 12%, so smoke them if you got them while you can. And finally, opinions of the economy are reflected in this month's Lemon Report. Lemon production estimates were raised 9% in this month's forecast. But, Chip, that's no excuse to walk around with a sour face. Some highlights from the crop production report you might have missed.
Beautiful.
Good talk with Brian Grady. Not as bad as expected, at least on the corn side, was the call from the beginning of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian said it was a big surprise. It was a big surprise. Mm-hmm. When that old crop carryover number came across, that was one of the numbers where you see it and you think, now I'm looking at something wrong. But when it came across at 1.877 billion bushels, and then the new crop comes across at 2.022 billion bushels when the expectations were 2.3, you know, the things add up pretty quick. And we've been talking for so long that we got to find a way to get the old crop carry under 2 billion bushels before we can turn this market around.
Yeah.
Well, here we are. Now, I don't think I got to believe that most are very surprised that USDA added 75 million to the export estimate on corn. Mm-hmm. And corn exports have been good. Have they been 75 million bushels better than, have they been 2.225 billion bushels good? I don't know. And then on the feed and residual side, to get a 75 million bushel increase when we just got a quarterly grain stocks report that showed us June 1 stocks were 120 million bushels bigger than what the trade anticipated. And then we get this increase in the feed and residual category. That's a big surprise. That's a head scratcher. Okay. And it should have been a jolt. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it should have been a jolt to the corn market. And it was a jolt to the corn market for a whole penny and three quarters up in the September contract, 4 cents up in the D's.
Yeah. We continued our ongoing, I think this conversation may be one of our pillars of our career, the relationship between acreage, harvested acreage, and final yield. I think I've kind of got my head around that, although, you know, it sort of moves counterintuitively a little bit. I feel like a no-brainer is if this corn yield goes up, let's say we manage a record corn yield, I feel like that's got to be a weight on the market, right? A record?
No.
I'm confused again.
We get every now and then we're at a point that a record corn yield could actually be bullish for the market. And in this case, it would be. It would be. And the reason that I say that is trend line yield is 181. That's what USDA's got in the supply and demand balance sheet. Is a 181. You know what? I want to get that right in front of me right now before I go any further. Yeah, 181 bushels per acre. The harvested area is projected at 83.4 bushels or 83.4 million. That doesn't have anything to do with the production estimate. That has everything to do with the acreage estimate that we got on June 28th. So you get the planted acreage estimate, and then you get the harvested acreage estimate in that acreage report. Acreage estimate came in on harvested corn, 83.4. By the way, harvested acres on beans is 85.3. So more harvested bean acres than harvested corn acres, acres harvested for grain on corn. So here we are, 83.4 at 181 gives us a crop of 15.1 billion bushels. The record corn yield was set last year at 177.3 bushels per acre. So if we have a record corn yield of 177.4, okay, but it's still a record. It's still a record, 177.4. That would give us a crop of about 14.8 billion bushels. You got to take 300 million bushels off of the supply side. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, your 2.1 billion bushel carry is 1.8 billion bushels carry. If you can keep total use at 14.905 billion bushels. So it's not very often that you can say that a record yield would be bullish, but because of the expectations that are in the marketplace, a record corn yield would be bullish.
That's really interesting. Wow, I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all about expectations. And right now we are building a case because of we've taken some corn acres out on some of the private expectations. Some of the lower yielding acres have already been taken out. So they're working with a number below 83.4 million. We're in a situation where for the first time in a long time, this crop, we could be setting up for it to be worse than expected, which would be a completely different narrative than what we've gone through over the past few years. It's been better than expected. This one could be worse, even if it's a record. It could be worse than expected. The National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. It's not updated. I'm not going to do that.
she gone. She gone. Yeah. We're going to be talking more with Brian Grady next month when Pro Farmer heads out on crop tour, if I'm not mistaken. Huh?
Absolutely, we will. That's the third full week of August. Monday morning, we've got a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Monday afternoon, we're going to talk markets with Rich Nelson from Allendale Inc. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is AgriTalk.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters aggressively